You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Show of August, September, fall, right around the corner. How about that? Pretty interesting day yesterday as people listened to the show and then reacted to the story of arson being investigated as the cause of the fire on the Bonhomme Richard. And you don't always see the same reaction universally, but I think if I could, I would tell you that it was essentially the same reaction over and over and over and over and over. And that was encapsulated by my friend's tweet yesterday morning when he said, "Oh my God, tell me that's not true." So, I mean, anger later, but disbelief at first that somehow or other, you know, we have American military personnel torching American warships. And then we have people that man American warships that can't put the fires out, which is another problem. So a pretty discouraging bunch of emails I got yesterday. And so let me play you. The people that broke that news are in San Diego. All right. And so let me play you. The reporter's name is Jennifer Kasten. And there's another reporter by the name of Jermaine Ong, whose name is on the byline, as it's known. So let me play you their actual news report. And so this is from, I think it's KGTV in San Diego. San Diego, the home of the Bonhomme Richard, a huge Navy town, has been for a long, 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 long time. So this is the report filed that broke that news.
Some more breaking news now. The massive fire Bonhomme Richard last month is now being investigated as arson. That's according to multiple sources who are close to the investigation.
Our ABC 10 News investigative reporter Jennifer Kastner discovered the suspect is a sailor. Jen.
Steve, that's correct. The suspect in this case is a U.S. Navy sailor. This is a huge development. That's according to multiple sources with close ties to NCIS. We still don't know tonight whether or not that sailor has been taken into custody.
The explosive fire that gutted the USS Bonhomme Richard warship in July is now being investigated as an arson, and the lead suspect is a sailor with the U.S. Navy. That's according to multiple sources with close ties to Naval Criminal Investigative Service, or NCIS. Those sources confirming the bombshell development with ABC 10 News Wednesday. The ship erupted in flames at Naval Base San Diego and took nearly 4 days to knock down. More than 60 personnel, including sailors and civilians, were treated for injuries like heat exhaustion and smoke inhalation. The cause has been under investigation, but now ABC 10 News' sources reveal that multiple search warrants have been executed at a sailor's home as agents with NCIS investigate if he started the fire. Whether he's been taken into custody is still unknown. Retired Rear Admiral John Kirby, a former Pentagon press secretary and current CNN military analyst, is not affiliated with the investigation, but described the Navy's criminal apprehension process to ABC 10 News.
I mean, you can be put into some level of custody without being charged for a crime because maybe there's concern about whether you're going to harm others or harm yourself, or they want to make you available to investigators. There's lots of different levels of what we would call pretrial confinement. And that doesn't equate to the same level of custody that you think about in the civilian world.
He said if investigators then establish significant probable cause to move forward, the sailor would be formally taken into custody.
It's my understanding that they're just not at that level right now with respect to the Bonhomme Richard. They don't really have a firm understanding about exactly what happened. And they're sort of they're moving their way through this, and the investigation is very preliminary.
Wednesday, a spokesperson for the U.S. Navy would not confirm what ABC 10 News' sources report about the possibility of arson, but did say the investigations are ongoing and there is nothing new to announce on their current status or findings.
And the Navy says the ATF's National Response Team has been called in to help NCIS with this investigation, which is customary for these types of complex, large-scale situations. Reporting live tonight, Jennifer Kastner, ABC 10 News.
Jen, thank you.
So that's the actual report from ABC 10 News out of San Diego. Pretty amazing. And then a follow-up story says, so then they brought on an arson investigator. And so this is a subsequent story written yesterday afternoon by her. An arson investigation expert says the probe into possible arson behind the USS Bonhomme Richard fire could take more than a year to complete. Timothy Wilhelm, a senior fire investigator for Robson Forensic and has extensive experience with arson cases, he's not part of the Navy ship investigation, but says it could take agents more than a year to complete their findings. Quote, there's so many delicate systems in that ship. There's so many different players, and it's just a huge undertaking, Wilhelm told ABC 10 News. We're not talking about the systems. We're talking about the origin of the fire. And be interesting because, you know, obviously I haven't been on a ship in years, but most of them had video surveillance systems. And especially during import periods, those were not a small deal because that was part of your security apparatus. So it'll be interesting to see what they know, how they know it. And so the full investigation, you know, look, may take a year. But, you know, you don't get to where they're at without having evidence. And now that's public. The article goes on to say it remains unclear if the USS Bonhomme Richard will ever sail again. But Admiral Mike Gilday said, yes, the technology and the expertise exist to go ahead and make the Bonhomme Richard whole again. And the question is simply a question of money. Will that be the case? So I just, there was a sense of disbelief. And then the other followed quickly by relative to the Navy, make it stop. Okay. Make it stop. And so then I got this from somebody. Yeah, shocking to hear a possible arson on the Bonhomme Richard. But hope the Navy has some solid evidence. I remember when the Navy blamed the Iowa turret explosion. Now, do you remember that? The USS Iowa? There was a gunner's mate, if I recall, by the name of Clayton Hartwig. And so the Navy's initial investigation said that it was a homosexual suicide. The email goes on. The Navy ended up looking like dumb shits and idiots when it was found that the cause of the explosion was due to shoddy procedures and maintenance in the gun turrets, as well as it's all well chronicled in a book called A Glimpse of Hell. So, and then somebody else admonished me, never short sell the incompetence of NCIS. So, I think we've all seen them screw this kind of stuff up repeatedly. So, advice well taken. Sadly, advice well taken. The that news still echoing as people hear it and simply are stunned. So the question is, you know, is there, how much truth is there to that? So, trust me, more news to follow. In some breaking news this morning, the Pentagon has announced it is pulling about a third of the remaining U.S. forces out of Iraq. And that troop levels will be around 3,500 there. And other economic news, MGM Resorts is laying off 18,000 furloughed workers in the United States as a global travel slowdown impedes the casino industry's recovery. Yeah, how about that? If the casinos aren't making it, nobody's making it, right? So that breaking news this morning. So good morning on a Friday. Only going to be with you for an hour today. As I've got stuff I've got to do. And somebody sent me an email, which is typical on Friday. How's the chef? And I'll just give you an update on his condition. The chef is doing good, but he's having issues relative to pain management. And so he's hopefully going to get that taken care of. But there is no timeline. I wish I had better news. To give you, but there's no timeline when he may come back. So, and then somebody sent me another email, and they said, "Hey Mac, what about you were talking about the video you're making?" Yeah, I am in to the fifth hour of post-traumatic winning, and one of the things, if you ever sat through it, you would notice is it's pretty dense. You know, even in its shortened versions, which are between 2 hours and 2 hours and 45 minutes. So that's in its shortened existence. So when I'm unencumbered by time and I can develop the thoughts that get abbreviated, it'll be 5 hours, easily 5 hours, maybe into a sixth hour. So that would be the whole kit and caboodle. And then from there, what I intend to do is there's things that I can, you know, that I need to put in there. Two pieces of audio that I refer to, but I thought, like, why am I referring to it? Why don't I just put the audio in here? One of them is talking about alcohol. And in one of the interviews I did with General Neller, he said that it was like the last couple minutes of the interview. Like he said, you know, hey, I've got to be done at like whatever time because I'm walking into a meeting and I'll be driving from here to here. So call me. So that was kind of the pretext of the interview. So we had a few extra minutes and kind of had finished with the bulk of the interview. And I said, all right, sir, one throwaway question. If you could give Marines one piece of advice, what would it be? And without hesitation, he said, stop drinking. And I was surprised that he said that. And I said that. I said, really? Or some words to that effect. And he said, if you could see the damage that I see, the destruction that I see that's done to people, that's done to their careers, that's done to their families, the death that is involved in alcohol, you wouldn't have that reaction. So I relay that when I'm talking about, you know, alcohol and PTSD, alcohol and living with trauma. So rather than me relaying it, I thought, you know what? I should just find that audio. So I got to go track that down. And then there's another piece of audio that I had in my head yesterday, and that is Jack Riley meets Gene Sledge. Yeah, how about that? So an event you would have liked to have been around for. I mean, just two great guys. And in their conversations, Gene Sledge asks Jack Riley, have you spoken to your wife about these things? So, you know, you can relay that, or you can get out of the way and let them say it themselves. And I think it's always more powerful when people hear it in somebody's own voice. So I've got to go hunt that stuff down. So that'll be the next phase. Is once I have it done, you know, I'll have a long version of it, which is what I wanted. And then I will begin to tweak it from there. I'll fill that out and make sure everything's right in it. And then I'll produce a shorter version of that that might take between an hour and 2 hours. Yeah, can you imagine? All that is in 5+ hours reduced to an hour or two. So really what you're doing is you're just taking the bullet point out of a much, you know, more developed thought, and you're hitting bullet point after bullet point after bullet point after bullet point. So the teaser, if you will. And then really what I have to do is I have to find a way to get it to my website and then protect it so it doesn't wind up on YouTube, which I don't want it to be on YouTube. So for proprietary reasons, somebody asked me for an update on how's that going. I was up till probably 1:30 last night doing audio. And so the process is I'm actually now pretty good at producing the video that gets made. And I learn a little bit all the time about that. So that's exciting. And so the thing that isn't in there is me presenting it, right? So as this thing goes down the road, that'll be the next phase. Is there's certain parts that I should be speaking. And I think you should actually see me as opposed to just hear my voice. Not that you particularly want to see me, but for purposes of the presentation, it would probably be more appropriate. So getting there. And then I need to kind of wrap that up so I can finish the book. So busy time and trying to get this information out, which is the more time I spend on it, you know, the more I know that there's the rightness of it. I see the power of it in people's lives and the transformational power of it as they do it. Speaking of that, I get a phone call from somebody who's been on this program before. His name is Josh Gilkey. Now, Josh called me, I don't know how many months ago, and said that he didn't think that he's going to be, because of MOS things and whatnot, that he didn't think that, you know, he's going to be allowed to reenlist in the Marine Corps, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, my grandma always used to say, when God closes a door, he opens a window. So look for the window, man. There's other services, you know, that love Marines. So you might want to check those out and then check out civilian opportunities. Well, he's a logistician. So he winds up working for a marijuana operation and doing logistics for them. So out of the blue, yesterday I get a phone call. And this is a young guy who's, you know, who had a lot of death. You know, the key people in his life died when he's a relatively young guy. And, you know, he, like a lot of people, he crosses paths with post-traumatic winning. And he reaches out to me. And so we become friends. And so out of the blue yesterday he called me. Mac, what's going on? Nothing, man. What are you doing? He goes, well, I started work. I said, really? I said, how's it going? He goes, oh, my God, it's awesome. I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, the people I work with are really cool. He said, I do a lot of the same stuff. I did. I get paid really well, and I work a fraction of the hours. It's awesome. He said, I don't know that I've ever been happier in my life. And I said, wow. He said, yeah, how about that? I said, that's incredible. He said, you know, my wife and I were talking. It was her birthday yesterday. Yeah, she has the same birthday as Colleen. And he said, we were just talking about how incredible this has all been. He said, and I was so scared. I had no idea where I was going. And he said, and now after all that I've been through, he said, I just feel like I'm in such a good place. So I said, don't fuck it up, man. He starts laughing. He goes, I know, right? And I said, you know the drill. You're a Marine, man. You're perfectly capable of it. And he starts laughing. He goes, I know, I know. I said, no, man, but it's the life skills that you've learned. That even when it does go sideways, and it will, I just know you have the tools to get through it. He goes, I have learned that. So that, you know, and so again, I always talk about my life and how incredible the last few years have been. And it's meeting guys like Josh, who I've crossed paths with, and then becoming friends, staying in contact with them, and seeing their growth. And I got to thinking about this last night because I get asked a fair amount about, you know, being an expert and all that. And I said, you know, you don't hold yourself out as an expert, you know. Offer stuff to help people and offer to have a conversation with them. And then watch what happens. You don't have to be an expert. So pretty cool stuff. The other thing, I had a bit of a disturbing conversation about critical thinking skills and how young people in particular collect information in our society. And somebody pointed out to me, they get information from the people they follow on Twitter and on Facebook. And I said, really? I said, I guess that's true. He said, yeah. He said, so when you're looking for them, and we were talking about the NBA, you know, canceling games and, you know, some of the things LeBron says and the Jason Stark article and things like that. And I said, you know, Will Cosentini has a great quote. I don't know if he made it up, but I constantly attribute it to him. It doesn't survive the second question. I mean, that's how intellectually curious you have to be, which is not very intellectually curious if it doesn't survive the second question. And, you know, he just said to me, he said, yeah, he said, well, they're not into the second question. They don't know the second question. All they're watching is the people that they follow and the things they say. And those must be true. And I said, good God, man, that ought to scare the shit out of everybody. And so that was a little bit disconcerting. That was a little bit disconcerting. I'm not going to lie to you. That when you look at the events in Wisconsin, how do you not get to the facts at some point? Now, I'm not, as Jason Stark said, I'm not endorsing what the police did. I'm not condemning what Mr. Blake did. But I think that if you begin to go down that road, and if you look at a series of videos, not one, that you have to ask some questions. Who was this guy? What was going on? What did the police do? And how did we get to that point? And I think when you do that, you obviously see some disturbing stuff. And as Jason Stark said, none of this happens if you're not fighting with the police. But when you look at what's going on TV, does any of that matter? And the answer to that seems to be no. So the question is, you know, where is this coming from? Is this a groundswell? Or are these specific groups that have an agenda? Blah, 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 blah. And then a series of people said to me that some of the findings of the autopsy are out, and I don't believe that the cop officer, what is his name, Derek Chauvin, he's not going to be convicted. I said, why do you say that? They said, because the thing that killed that guy was he wasn't strangled. The thing that killed him was a lethal dose of fentanyl. I went, wow. I said, but the officer's got to be culpable of what? And they said, well, and I don't want to dissect this here live on the radio, but I will. If you look at the way he's sitting, he certainly would have caused him to pass out. But how would the way he's sitting on him contribute to him, you know, being suffocated? And they said, and the answer is that it should not, because he's not blocking his airways. He's got his knee on his neck, but that's not blocking his airway. And then they started talking about the autopsy and what happens to your body when you overdose on fentanyl, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. I guess the conversation was disturbing simply because does the news matter? Does the truth matter? Does any of it matter? Or does the only thing that matter is what people tweet? And that ought to scare the shit out of everybody. So, and then it takes you back to, what are our kids learning in school? What are our kids learning in school? And it is like, it's the most important things are your feelings. Not how to critically think, not how to discover information, not how to multiple source all that. So I don't, causes me great concern for the future of the country. And when they don't even know how to ask the first question, let alone the second question. That it goes in the Twitter feed to, can you believe this? So, anyway, good morning to you on a Friday. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem, as she does. Good morning to you.
Sure.
And this is dedicated to a corporal I met by the name of Josh. His last name is Gilkey, and he and his wife are doing great. And he's come through a very, very difficult road. So I just wanted to congratulate him on his success and his happiness. Wish you all the best. Don't forget the tools that got you there. That's probably the most important thing, because those things, sadly, tend to reoccur in life. And you've got through it once. You can do it again. Don't forget that. But congratulations. This is dedicated to you.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather here on a Friday. Currently, it is partly sunny and 86 in the nation's capital. It is down the coast. It's partly sunny and 88 down at Camp Lejeune. It is sunny and 85 in 29 Palms, so 29 Palms has cooled off. Camp Pendleton back in the 60s, barely. Overcast and 69 right now. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy 72. Okinawa, dark cloudy 81. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, they've gotten cool, downright cool. Late in the day, early evening, clear evening and 81 degrees. 81 in Afghanistan. That's crazy. And then in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, where we hardly have anybody there. Maybe we should start reporting on the South China Sea and not Iraq. Not so much there anymore. Anyway, it is sunny and 103. The high today was 108. Yeah, so they have that going for them. Currently sunny and 68 in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach. First time we've been below 70 in a while at this hour of the morning. And over the course of the weekend, we're looking for 78 today, 75 tomorrow. Oh, my God, that'll be wonderful. 76 on Sunday, 78 on Monday, and 78 on Tuesday. So, yes, back into the 70s. Welcome September. Yeah, how about that? So, anyway, cooler weather is on the way. We will take a break, come back, check news headlines here on a one-hour version of All Marine Radio here on a Friday. And, again, this email is indicative of the email I received about the Bon Armour Shard. So, I downloaded your show yesterday, getting ready for my drive home, and I begin to hear your discussion about the Bon Armour Shard. And I couldn't listen. I actually shut it off. And I have to tell you, it's one of the bright spots of my day. Always kind of funny. Always informative. And sometimes straight up hilarious. I just shut it off. Arson? I'm not really sure what's going on in the United States Navy. I have to tell you, as I've heard on your program before, the thought of the United States Navy confronting the Chinese is scary. The lead organization isn't up to the task. And we see it over and over and over. My only thought, as I drove home yesterday, and ultimately I listened to the rest of the show to include hour two with the Mensa brothers, which is pretty funny. I said a prayer last night for the Navy. I've often been told in my life that hope's not a course of action. But I think that's what we're reduced to. There's nothing that I see that's ongoing the Navy, that's ongoing in the Navy, that gives me hope that they can turn this culture around and be the force that the nation needs them to be in anything like the mid or near term. And I don't see the initiatives underway that correct it in the long term. So I guess hope is the only course of action. Sad. I'm incredibly sad for the Navy. I'm incredibly concerned for the country. And I'd like to add my voice to those who've emailed you expressing that concern and that sadness. All the best. That's pretty indicative of the sentiment. Hope's not a COA, but that's all I feel I have left relative to the Navy. It's stunning to listen to it. And you listen to it over and over and over and over again. So, anyway, more of All Marine Radio coming up right here on a Friday. Don't touch that dial. Right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We have to check the weather in Saskatchewan. Bev sent me a weather report. Good morning from East Central Saskatchewan, Mac. I hope you have an enjoyable weekend. Tornado warning for Churchbridge was issued at 8:30 yesterday. Fortunately, we only received heavy rain and pea-sized hail. A mix of clouds and sun for today with winds out of the northwest at 17. And then a sad-faced emoji, two of them. The cool-down begins. Current temperature is 52 degrees Fahrenheit with an afternoon high of 68. Thanks to donation made in memory of former residents, this once vacant lot is gradually becoming beautified. And so there's a sign that says Memorial Park, and there are signs that say World War II, recovery. I don't know what that says. International something. Um, 100th birthday of Saskatchewan. So, there's all kinds of signs that have to do with the history of the community. And it's got trees in it. It's got shrubs in it. It's got tables in it. It's got some kind of other centerpiece in it that I can't see. So, very cool stuff. Small town, Canada. Yeah, little Memorial Park. So, very cool. I was telling my friend that moved to Wisconsin, you're gonna be involved in some really cool stuff and get a chance to go, and you need to go. And so when you're from California, there's things that, you know, that you don't do because the state's a big state, right? So one of the things that happened in Minnesota and North Dakota and rural states, or states that have large, you know, rural communities, is like in Minnesota, North Dakota, you have like the State B basketball tournaments. Yeah, what is that? Well, it's all these small towns, these small farm towns that play sports, right? And when those tournaments go on, the city empties out. There's nobody left. Because, right, the girls' basketball team is in the state quarterfinals, and they all get in their trucks. And they head down to wherever the hell it's going on. And you see these, you know, these gyms and arenas packed. And it's just the coolest. It's the coolest stuff in the world. You know? And it's small town America turning out to support its young athletes that are, you know, that are carrying the banner of some community. Minnesota plays 8-man football because some communities can't get 11 guys to play. So that's been going on for years. And there's a great tradition of it. And they used to play down in the Metrodome where the Vikings play. Now, I don't know where they play the tournament anymore. But I said, and then the Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament. I said, come on, man. I mean, they'll play at the X Center, and the thing is sold out. You know, 18 to 20,000 people. And he starts laughing. He goes, oh, my God. I said, yeah. You know, I said, you don't experience that in California. Because the state's so big, you have section, you know, tournaments and stuff like that. But, you know, in most states, they, you know, the state tournament is huge. And, but when you grow up in California, you don't experience that. And then you go to, you know, North Dakota, you know, the state high school hockey tournament. The kids got out of school for that. I mean, it was also the first weekend of hunting. They got out of school for that too. So it's a different way of life. And dare I say better, because, you know, you go and you support your high schools and you go and support your city. I remember I first started doing radio, and I was hired part-time to take some pressure off the big guy. Okay, so I sat in for him on an FM show that went from 6 to 9 in the morning. That was one of the bigger shows in the area. And my partner was a guy named Tim Hennessy. Now, Tim's a funny guy. And we grew up alike. We were both raised in Irish Catholic families and went to Catholic schools and, you know, whatnot. So we used to have a good time. And he said, hey, look, do you like hockey? And I said, yeah, I love. I mean, I grew up playing sports. Hockey is one of my favorite sports. He said, well, come and do the hockey broadcast with me. I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, look, have you ever seen the Minnesota State? I think it's Section 8A. Yeah, that's how well I know it. Section 8A sectional tournament here in Northwest Minnesota. And I said, no. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, you're going with me. And I said, okay. He said, Mac, he said, so the high school game will start at like 7:30. People will start showing up at 5. I said, for a high school game? He said, yeah. The place will be sold out by 6:30, 6:45. Both bands will be there. It's like nothing you've ever seen. And these towns are big-time hockey towns. Thief River Falls, Minnesota. War Road, Roseau, East Grand Forks, Crookston. And they've been playing each other forever. And the pitchers go back, you know, decades and decades. And some of the great names of American Olympic hockey have come out of Northwest Minnesota. The Christian Brothers. Who had a stick-making company for years up in War Road. So there are these legendary American hockey players that played in these games. And so it's very cool. But it is. It's a whole community turning out, you know, to watch its high school, you know, athletes play. And so I went, and it was awesome. It was awesome. So, and then North Dakota used to have a similar event, and where I lived on the eastern side of the state, the sport was much bigger than it was on the western side of the state, and it would wind up being teams from the eastern side of the state playing in the championship, and those would be awesome. Those would be awesome. Yeah, 11,000 people at a high school hockey game. So, very cool stuff. So, a little bit different in the Midwest. So let's check a few news headlines here on a Friday. The I've kind of updated the story on the Bonhomme Richard, so I will skip that. Top story in Stars and Stripes. I think that if you pay attention to DOD headlines, you recall about a year or longer ago, there was an infant who died in army housing on Honolulu. The daycare was unauthorized, and if my memory serves me correctly, had already been shut down at least once, maybe more than that. The 7-month-old girl died after she was overdosed in that daycare. The parents of that toddler are saying that the Army is responsible for that. So that the top story. Number two story in Stars and Stripes. Navy guided missile destroyer challenges Beijing claims to the South China Sea. So this is almost as irrelevant as that we killed somebody with a missile strike off a drone. Right? A U.S. Navy destroyer passed near contested islands in the South China Sea. Our Freedom of Navigation Act operations, FONOPS as they're known. The same day, Defense Secretary Mark Esper emphasized the Pentagon's intent to continue making Beijing's territorial claim, challenging Beijing's territorial claims in the region. The USS Mustin steamed near the Paracel Islands, its second cruise in the area this year, to challenge excessive maritime claims and reinforce laws of the sea and international waters. Now, what China will say is, yeah, the Americans do this, and then they leave, and we stay. So, yeah, so a big, now I will say this, the Navy's level of operations have increased there. In another headline, in a show of force, U.S. B-52 bombers with alliance escorts will fly over 30 NATO nations today. So the question is, why? So let's get to the bottom of that. As part of a training mission, NATO said, the 6 bombers from the 5th Bomber Wing at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota, don't you know? Yeah, their high school teams are known as the Magicians, the Minot Magicians. Right? The 6 bombers from the 5th Bomber Wing at Minot Air Force Base that took part in the day-long exercise were split into 2 flights. 2 of the 8 engine jets flew over the U.S. and Canada, while the remaining 4 covered NATO member states in Europe, a statement said. Those 4 jets arrived in Europe this past Saturday. At various stages of the event, dubbed Allied Sky, the bombers were escorted by about 80 fighters from across the alliance, providing an opportunity to boost allies' ability to train and operate alongside each other. I've only had one occasion to see B-52s, like literally with my eyeballs, other than like way up in the sky. And that they came out to aggress the USS Ranger when we were doing a Ready X off the coast of California. And let me tell you what surprised me. It surprised me how fast they were, and they were flying pretty low. I mean, a few hundred feet off the water. And they were from the horizon over the top of us very quickly. Very quickly. It was amazing. I was impressed. And those things are gigantic, too. So they go. So, yeah, B-52 in action over North America and Europe. So that in the news. To USNI News. Headline. Interesting story. Megan Eckstein, right? Marines already in industry studies for light amphibious warships in bid to field them as soon as possible. Now, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but if you're not paying attention to the headlines about the Navy ship budgeting and whatnot, I'm not sure where all this money comes from. But anyway, be that as it may, here's the story written by Megan Eckstein yesterday. The Navy Marine Corps' new light amphibious warship program is already in industry studies, with the service pushing ahead as quickly as possible in an acknowledgement that they're already behind in their transformation of the force. Major General Tracy King, the Director of Expeditionary Warfare on the Chief of Naval Operations Staff, said today that the light amphibious warship was perhaps the most important investment the Marine Corps was going to optimize itself for expeditionary advanced base operations. Quote, having these laws out there as an extension of the fleet, under the watchful eye of our Navy, engaging with our allied partners, building partner capacity, is what I think we need to be doing right now. I think we're late to need with building the light amphibious warship, which is why we're trying to go so quickly, he said, saying that the N95, that's OPNAV N95, was copying the Surface Warfare Directorate's playbook from the frigate program, which moved quickly from requirements / developments to design to getting under contract thanks to the use of mature technology and designs from industry. Read off-the-shelf stuff. USNI News previously reported the Navy and the Marine Corps would buy 28 to 30 of the ships between fiscal year 2023 and 2026, with a per-ship price tag potentially below $100 million. The Congressional Research Service has written the ships would come out of the Navy's shipbuilding budget, USNI News understands, and though both services collaborated on the requirements, the law program would overhaul how the Marine Corps can do business in the littoral areas of the world. Quote, law is not meant to replace L ships. It is meant to enhance the ability of the fleet to conduct distributed operations, King said. And while speaking at the Surface Navy's Association's virtual waterfront conference yesterday, in line with what Deputy Commandant of the Marine Corps for Combat Development and Integration, Lieutenant General Eric Smith, told UNSI News earlier this summer, King noted that a key tenet of the law program was that the vessels would be cheap and therefore could be fielded in large numbers. Quote, we need to build an affordable ship that can get after the ability to do maritime campaigning in the littorals. And so he goes on. This is Lieutenant General King. I'm sorry, Major General Tracy King. Not forcible entry, not the ability to replace the L-class ships. It's going to be additive, but it's going to be affordable. So what that means is she really needs to know what's going on, and she needs to have a sheepdog watching out for her. That might be an LPD-17. It might be a DDG Flight 3. It might be a LCS, Littoral Combat Ship, depending on what the fleet commander sees is the situation. But I see the efficacy of this law. How it's going to help us out is really going to be in the phase, the stage we're in right now, he said, which some military officials call the competition phase, but which he considers a pre-conflict phase where the potential adversary is not playing by the rules and therefore the Marine Corps needs to find a new and creative way to meet missions. So it goes on. All right. So we'll see. The big challenge is going to be, you know, will the Navy do what they say? The Navy doesn't build ships on time and under budget. So will this be different? And given the fact that Secretary of Defense hasn't forwarded the Navy shipbuilding plan to Congress because he doesn't see it as credible based on some of the financial assumptions, where does this fit in those priorities? Destroyer conducts South China Sea FON ops day after Chinese carrier killer missile test. It's written by Sam Legrone in USNI News. A guided missile destroyer conducted freedom of navigation, blah, 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 blah. USS Mustin operated past the islands which are claimed by China, Vietnam, and Taiwan, the Paracel Islands. I'm curious about the missile operation. The freedom of navigation operations come a day after the Chinese People's Liberation Army reportedly fired two so-called Dongfeng carrier killer anti-ship ballistic missiles into the South China Sea. One of the missiles, the DF-26B, as in Bravo, was launched from the northwestern province of Qing Hai, while the other, a DF-21D, lifted off from Zhejiang province in the east, according to a report in the South China Morning Post, citing a source in the PLA. Both were fired into an area between Hainan province and the Paracel Islands. So, ballistic missiles. The Chinese test comes a day after Beijing complained a flight of U.S. Air Force U-2 reconnaissance planes violated protective airspace around the PLA exercise. Quote, the trespass severely affected China's normal exercises and training activities and violated the rules of behavior for air and maritime safety between China and the United States, as well as relevant international practices, Wu Wan, a spokesman for the Chinese Defense Ministry, said in a statement. The U.S. action could easily have resulted in misjudgments and even accidents. Misjudgments. The U.S. Pacific Air Force confirmed the U-2 operations, but said the aircraft were operating within the bounds of international law. So there's a shocker, right? Top stories in Marine Corps Times. The Marine Corps is still looking for more female officers to attempt its infantry course. According to an administrative message released in early August, the Marine Corps is looking for more female infantry officers. The MAR admin was directed at active duty female company grade officers who joined the Marine Corps before the infantry field was opened to women in 2016. It looks to give early career officers a chance to lateral move from their current MOS, which is their current military occupational specialty, into the infantry field in the hopes of boosting the number of female infantry captains and lieutenants. Quote, there is a cohort of company grade officers who were not given an opportunity to compete for the 0302 MOS during their time at the basic school due to policies that restricted women from serving in the infantry and other combat arms. Yvonne Carlock, a spokesman for the Marine Corps Manpower and Reserves, told Marine Corps Times in an email this past week. The Marine Corps does not have a target for how many female Marines it hopes to attempt the infantry officer course. There is no infantry officer shortage, she added, but the solicitation is part of Marine Corps Commandant General Berger's goal of increasing diversity among infantry officers. So, yeah, I would tell you that's hard. That's hard. I just think, as we've discussed here, there are unicorns out there that can do it physically. But I think to do that for a career, I just don't know. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that. And again, are there people that can do it in very, very small numbers? Absolutely. If they can do it, should they be given the opportunity? I believe they should. I just don't, I mean, you know, a woman's body doesn't progress as a man's body does. And there are differences in the genders as we age. And so, I mean, the physical requirement to lead a platoon at the age of 24 and then to do it again at the company level at the age of what, 30? To lead a battalion at the age of 37, 38. I mean, that's a long period of time of being very, very devoted to your body and the fact that your body can handle all that and all that physical stress, which is not easy. And you're the person in charge. So, again, it's a daunting challenge. It's a daunting challenge. And for those who tackle it, God bless you. But I think that I think what you're going to see, and this is just a physiology of the difference between genders, is you're going to see an awful lot of knee injuries. You're going to see an awful lot of hip injuries, and you're going to see a lot of damaged women as they try to bear the load that infantry Marines bear, and you know their bodies just aren't made for it. So. I don't think that's stating anything but the obvious, but are there unicorns out there? Yeah, and wish them all the best of luck. The top five stories in Early Bird are, number one, Pentagon pushes back on the Russian claim that the U.S. or is to blame for a military vehicle collision in Syria injuring four Americans. Okay, everybody remember, the Russians are talking, and so what do we know? They're lying. Number two, Trump vows to continue to rebuild the military and halt the endless wars in the final night of the Republican Party's convention. I did not watch a minute of either one of those conventions. Number three, U.S.-China trade jibes over military tensions as they worsen. So that in the news. Number four, guard troops from three states heading to Wisconsin to assist in the unrest. Wow. What's interesting is these stories seem to follow a very similar vein, which is this, that something happens and the mayors all say, oh, we can take care of our business. We don't need anybody's help. And then they get their asses kicked. And then the guard comes in looking for the adults, right? National Guard troops from Arizona, Michigan, and Alabama were heading to Wisconsin to assist with unrest in Kenosha after the Jacob Blake shooting, said Wisconsin Governor Terry Evers on Thursday. He did not say how many troops would assist. The governor authorized the deployment of 500 members of the Wisconsin National Guard to Kenosha, doubling the number of troops in the city of 100,000 people. National Guardsmen will operate under the active duty status through the emergency management assistance agreements with Wisconsin to assist local and state partners in Wisconsin to assure citizens' rights to safety and maintaining order, according to a Wisconsin National Guard statement. So that is in the news. And number five, Air Force on track to match. Air Force is on track to match a record of 2019 suicide rates, according to their top officer. Chief of Staff General Charles C.Q. Brown said airmen are experiencing unwanted stressors amid COVID-19, raising concerns about mental health and resiliency in the force. Quote, collectively, we're struggling to figure out how to deal with this, Brown said during a Q&A segment during the Air Force Sergeant's virtual symposium. We are on a path to be as bad as last year. Now, last year, the Air Force experienced a 33% increase over the previous year. The highest number of suicides since the Air Force began tracking that number in 2008. Brown said the Air Force has found that historically most suicides have been tied to personal relationship issues. So how do we better help our airmen if they have relationship issues versus going to see the chaplain? There's probably some outside entities that can help them. It's very hard if you want to go see the chaplain or mental health counselor and then you see them at the commissary or the base exchange or the gym, Brown said. Our mental health providers are actually staying pretty busy doing that. They can actually see more patients. But how do we open it up a bit more so we can actually give some more tools to our airmen and their families? That in the news. Some overseas operational issues. Headlines. Russian submarine surfaces near Alaska during a Russian war game exercise. What? The Russians, man. First of all, they're lucky to get to sea, right? The North American Aerospace Defense Command and U.S. Northern Command are closely monitoring the submarine, Northern Command spokesman Bill Lewis says. We have not received any requests for assistance from the Russian Navy or any other mariners in the area, Lewis said. From Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado, I've been there. We always stand by ready to assist those in distress, Lewis declined to provide further details about the submarine, including its proximity to Alaska. He only said it was operating in international waters near Alaska. So why would the cryptic listen to this. The presence of Russian military assets in war games caused a stir for U.S. commercial fishing vessels in the Bering Sea on Wednesday. So listen to this. And this has to do with, the Russians have stuff, but none of it works, right? Quote, this is Coast Guard. We were notified by multiple fishing vessels that were conducting operations out of the Bering Sea that they had come across the vessels and were concerned, so they contacted us. So the question is, was a Russian naval vessel having issues? And I think those fishing boats know the difference between what's normal and what's not. Right? And one more story in terms of overseas operation. Colombia says visiting U.S. military unit to restart activities. Colombia has given the green light for U.S. Army units to restart an advisory mission in the country after senators found its activities did not constitute a deployment of foreign troops, the defense minister said on Thursday. A court ordered the government to suspend training conducted by the 53-person U.S. Specialist Unit at the start of July after a group of opposition legislators filed legal action saying movement of foreign troops in the country should be authorized by the Senate. After President Iván Duque submitted information demonstrating his political control of the unit's activities, 69 lawmakers from 7 parties signed a letter saying the unit's presence did not constitute a deployment of foreign troops, but its cooperation was cooperation in the fight against drugs. So, ongoing events in Colombia. So, on this Friday, that'll do it. I've got to get back to making videos. That's right. So, don't touch that dial. We kind of update the story on the Bonhomme Richard. We talk about the lack of critical thinking skills in America's young people who tend to get their news off Twitter and Facebook, which ought to scare the living shit out of everybody. And the sentiment of disbelief that arson was the cause of the fire on the Bonhomme Richard, and addition to the head scratching that how could that thing burn Pierside for 4 days? So, again, it's the Navy. Amazing. When you don't think the bar can go lower, I mean, it seems to find a way somehow to drop it. And then one of the emails said, you know, I said a prayer for the Navy last night. I know hope's not supposed to be a course of action. But in the email, he said, that's what I feel. I don't see anything coming to rescue the Navy in the near or midterm, and I don't see what rescues the Navy in the long term. So on this Friday, the last Friday of August, have a great weekend. A great week of interviews, in case you haven't heard them. Yeah, if you haven't heard them, go check them out. And I'm always a fan of Allmarine Radio, but seriously. The Lynch-Kenny event yesterday, Cosentini event, that was good. The interview with Mark Trainer, and he's a Naval Academy grad, infantry officer in Vietnam, written a book called A Quiet Cadence. That is an interesting interview. And then on Monday and Tuesday, I played two parts of an interview that Studs Terkel did with Gene Sledge. So, If you haven't listened to that, if you haven't caught up, do that. It's good stuff. Grant Newsham came on and talked about the rumors that Kim Jong-un is in a coma and that his sister has taken over. So that's good stuff, too. Yeah. So, and then next week, Alex Hollings will join me Monday. And then you're going to hear from a major. Her name is Lauren Serrano. You'll hear from her. And possibly one other interview, but I don't want to jinx it. So, and then at some point you'll hear from Jack Riley about, why are you going to hear from Jack? You're going to hear from Jack Riley because he's friends with Gene Sledge. Yeah. So we're going to do a little reminiscing and how they met and whatnot. So Jack Riley. So you'll hear from him. And I got to get Chris Woodbridge back on the show. So I got to do that. So anywho, yeah, good stuff coming up. Anyway, have a great weekend. Is this Labor Day? Let me check that out. Labor Day 2020. It should be. Oh, Monday, September 7th. What? How does that make sense? Anyway. All right. Have a great weekend. It's not Labor Day. Don't forget that. The American Worker. Sold down the river as we transfer via companies like Walmart and Target, transferred all our industrial manufacturing to China so we could get our soccer balls for $4.99 instead of $6.99. Well done. The American worker screwed over at every opportunity they could be screwed over. It's called capitalism. And, oh, by the way, don't be afraid to change somebody's life. It's the best thing going on a Friday. All Marine Radio. Over and...